This is Gertrude Chapman with Supernatural Living. Thank you for allowing us to come into your home or your business or wherever you may be this afternoon or whatever time it may be around the world. Today, I have a very special message prepared just for you. And it's called, Prepare Yourselves, Return Unto the Lord. That word prepare means to anticipate, to expect, to fortify, to make provision, to lay the groundwork, to put in order, to get ready, and to strengthen. And that's what we'll be talking about today. How to prepare yourself for the promises of God, the promises that Jesus left with us. Turn with me to John, the 14th chapter. And I'll be starting at the first verse. It reads, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The bridegroom is coming back for a church that is prepared, a church that will get in readiness to be able to hear the voice of the Master. Revelation 19, verse 6, and I'll be reading verses 6 through 10 of chapter 19 in Revelation. And I heard, as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reign. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said it unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You see, the good thing about this marriage is that all the bride has to do is get ready. Everything has already been prepared for her. In traditional weddings, the bride's family is heavily involved in the wedding. All of the preparation rests on the bride and her family. The only thing that the church has to do is to prepare. We are the church. Each individual makes up the body of Christ. Here's a few wedding vows that we make in a traditional marriage to our spouses. How much more appropriate is it to make these same vows to the Lord Jesus Christ? Some ways to prepare and pledge our love and gratitude for the one who paid the price to make it possible for us to be redeemed back to our heavenly Father. The first one is love. Deuteronomy 6 and 5 says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Number 2 is honor. Proverbs 3 and 9 says, Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruit of all thine increase. Number 3 is obey. Acts 5:29 says, Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. And number four is submit. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Saints, it's time to prepare yourselves to meet the bridegroom. It's time to have a deeper devotion to God. Spend quality time with the Master and remain in your secret place until you get rid of all those secret faults and hidden sins in the four chambers of the heart and mind. Acknowledge that you have a problem and seek to get it right before the Lord. Stop passing it over and hoping that one day it will all go away. It's time to confront those issues and receive your healing and deliverance. Purification of the hearts and minds are essential elements. Stop allowing procrastination from robbing you of the joy and peace that you so deserve. Let's take another look at a wedding, a marriage, if you will. Turn with me to Esther, the second chapter. That's Esther, the second chapter, and I'll be beginning at the 8th verse. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the customer of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her things for purification, which such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not shown her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Artaxerxes, after that she had been given 12 months, according to the manner of the women. For so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purification of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Shagaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubine. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she was called by name. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Artaxerxes into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebet, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces, and gave gifts according to the state of the king. Now, you ever thought, what would happen if you are not prepared to meet the bridegroom? You see, this was a beautiful story of Esther, the purification. We all have to go through a time period of purification to get all the dross out. That's why when we're going through the furnace, it's not a time to try to beg your way out, try to fast your way out. Just go through the purification process. and get all of that dross out of you. You know, all those hidden things. Things that you may not even know that's in the inner recesses of your heart. You see, this was a natural story talking about, you know, when the king looked upon her, how her skin was radiant. It was beautiful because of the purification. How much more is it when we go through a spiritual purification? You know, it's the same thing, because when the soul is dirty, and you know, your soul consists of your will, your mind, and your emotions, it shows on the outside. It shows on your countenance. And it creates, you know, if people are looking at you, it creates a confusion. You know, you may say, well, you're living one way. You know, you may say that I'm living one way, but, you know, people are looking at you and, you know, it's bringing a confusion. So God wants us in this time period when the Holy Spirit speaks us to go through a purification process. And that can only be done at the feet of Jesus. And we should each take time out to say, Lord, purify me. Lord, you know, burn me. You know, consume me. Consume me with your fire to remove the things in me that are not like you. Because we want to be ready to meet the bridegroom. Now, what will happen if you are not prepared to meet the bridegroom? Turn with me to Matthew, the 25th chapter. And I'll start at the first verse. That's Matthew 25, and I'll begin at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Midnight. The darkest time. It's a time when you get weary and maybe you want to give up because you are discouraged. But this is a time when God is closest to you. Remember Psalms 23, and let's hold our places there, and let's turn to Psalms 23, and it reads, I'm starting at verse 1, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comforted me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So that's the confidence that we have in God in our midnight hour. Remember that he is our shepherd. Now go back with me to Matthew 25, and let's resume where we were. I was at verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. That's why, saints, we always got to watch and pray. Watch and pray. We always have to have an ironclad relationship with God. An ironclad relationship where our pipelines are not blocked, where we can clearly hear the urging of the Holy Spirit. We can clearly hear the voice of God. Watch and pray. Now, Isaiah 55 and 1 said, you remember, they went out to buy. You know, they went out to buy more oil. But it's something that they should always have. You know, they should always ask the Lord. You should each and every day ask the Lord to fill you up. Fill you. You know, this is something that I make a practice of. Before I get in the presence of others, I get in the presence of God. And I empty myself out before Him. And I ask Him to just fill me with His Spirit. Because we can't afford to go on empty. We have to be filled at all times. Because we never know that time, that day, that minute that the Lord is coming. Isaiah 55, starting at verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat, ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. You see, that for the eyes of the Lord is running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Do you know that? That word perfect means conforming, according to Webster, absolutely to the description. Perfect also means excellent or complete beyond practical or theatrical improvement. Theological, excuse me. Improvement. Perfect means exactly fitting a need in a certain situation or for a certain purpose. Perfect means entirely without any flaws, defects, or shortcomings. Perfect means accurate, exact, or correct in every detail. And the only way that we can live a perfect life on this earth in the flesh is to hide ourselves in that secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The perfect place for us is inside of God, inside of the chamber of God's heart, where we can shut the door on all the nonsense and the foolishness and the things that doesn't make any sense. Because in the end, it really doesn't matter. It's all about us and God. This is your time. God wants to bless you. Don't you feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit on the inside? The Spirit of the Lord is saying, come. Come to me, said the Lord of hosts. Allow me to heal you. Allow me to take away all that pain that has been afflicted onto you by others. I know they pretend to be your friend and sensitive to your needs, but they fail you. What you saw and are feeling right now is me, saith the Lord. Somehow, you took your eyes off of me. Remember, I am a jealous God. I will have no other gods before me. Allow me to guide you. You can place your total trust in me. I will not disappoint you. I am that friend that will stick it closer than a brother. Accept your healing right now. Open up your hearts and watch everything turn around in this very hour. just receive it. Afterward, you position yourself for God's promotion. Position yourself. And that's what happens. Once you realize those things, you acknowledge, you know, that you have taken your eyes off God. You allow him to heal you. You allow him to deliver you. You are positioning yourself for God's promotion. Now here's God's promotion. Go with me to 2 Samuel 7. And we're going to talk for a moment the sure mercies of David. It's yours too. It's mine also. 2 Samuel 7, and we're going to begin at the 8th verse. Now therefore, so shall thy say unto my servant David. And you could put your name there. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. And the Spirit of God is now speaking to you. The grace of God. Stay awake and beware. Keep thyself unpolluted from all the naysayers and doubters. 2 Peter 3, beginning at the 3rd verse. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now that's something to think about. I love that verse. The earth standing out of the water and in the water. Think about it. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perish, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blemish, and blameless. Amen? Create in me, this is what we should say to the Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. It has been a pleasure sharing this word with you, and I hope that you will prepare yourself to return unto the Lord. Have a blessed day.